Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
When you reach a decision, it's important to make an announcement. And we just felt that from a collaborative basis, being in communication on a regular basis with our chancellors, our presidents, our athletic directors, our head football coaches, that the time had come for us to make an announcement. I mean, this allows us to be able to just take another step in this entire process. I mean, this is a complicated time, complicated world that we're living in with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what we're doing is relying on the expert advice of our medical advisors. You know, we have our Big Ten Emerging Infectious Disease Committee, and also all of our other Big Ten doctors and trainers. And so we made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
The commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, talking yesterday about the Big Ten's decision to be like, look, all of our fall sports, they're all going to be intra-conference. That's including football. We got to figure out the rest of it, but that's the direction that we're going. I want to talk about that and college football overall, maybe a little White Sox too, with our buddy Mike Hall, who does an incredible job on Sports Light and also Big Ten Live. I was watching him yesterday and this morning on the Big Ten Network, doing some work there. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or just go to alpamonteford.com. Mr. Hall, it is good to hear your voice.
Doctor, good to hear yours too, buddy. You doing all right?
I'm doing okay. How's the family?
We're good. We're good. Everybody's healthy. That's all that matters right now, you know?
Yeah, I know, and I see the fun stuff on Instagram, and I see that you are being wrapped around a small person's finger for the rest of your life, and it is fun to see it happen in real time. It is fun to see it happen.
Thanks, man.
All right, let's talk about what happened over the last 24 hours. Obviously, yeah. you and Dave Revzin did great coverage of it yesterday on the network. I was checking out a lot of it. I thought that your interview that you did with Pat Forty was really informative. What were the things that you took away from what he said and what you've already learned about these changes?
Well, it seems like the Big Ten decision to go to conference only is not only the smart thing, but when you take a step back, it's almost a no-brainer. So it's hard for something to be smart and a no-brainer at the same time, but it does feel that way because nobody knows if we'll have a season, because nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring in the world we're living in right now. But the best thing you can do is put your league or your sport or whatever in a position to be ready that if games can be played, how can they be done the wisest way? So if you're going to be Illinois and you've got a game against whomever, Central Michigan in the non-conference, you don't know with 100% certainty how frequently their team had been tested, how well their testing had been done, how efficiently it had been monitored, et cetera. So you'd be putting your team in a disadvantageous position. If you keep everything in the conference, you have a universal controlled testing system. You know exactly that Illinois and Wisconsin and Penn State and Ohio State are all being tested the same way, the same amount of times. So that's one question you no longer have to worry about. And even if it's a big program, you know, Wisconsin was scheduled to play Notre Dame at Lambeau this year. And, you know, how much will you really know exactly what Notre Dame is doing? You don't know. So as long as you can control that one aspect, it gives you the flexibility to make changes. And when I talked with Kevin Warren, I asked him basically about that flexibility. And I said, so is that basically what we're hearing? If you have the flexibility of making it Big Ten only, that if hypothetically week four, Rutgers is supposed to play Illinois, and there's for some reason a big outbreak in New Jersey, well, you can cancel that game and just push it to 4 weeks later when both teams have an off week again. Or maybe you push it to 4 weeks later and Illinois plays, you know, Maryland because they had an off week then. And it just allows you so many more options on how to control this season in a season which will probably for the large part be uncontrollable.
And it also felt like there was the creation of a time element here, that the one of the benefits of this is it allows the Big Ten, and I'm sure that we'll see the ACC and the SEC follow suit with this, and the Pac-12 follow suit with the idea of we have a better sense of how we can do our own scheduling, and the conference is big enough to warrant a full schedule, but also it allows us to have a clean break right now with all the non-conference things that we were supposed to do, and gives us a lot of time to assess what happens next overall.
I got the vibe from talking with the commissioner yesterday that within a week we'll know what the schedule is. He wasn't locked in on that, but he basically said over the course of the next week we're going to try to get ready on the schedule. And that will give us a greater idea. There's been a thought of perhaps maybe it'd be a 10-game season, but you keep it stretched out over those 13 weeks. So you could, in theory, have a game September 1st and maybe not have another game for a team for a couple weeks. Or maybe you do it where you have someone play 3 weeks straight and then have an off week, three games off week, something like that to allow you that flexibility. I don't know exactly how they'll do it. It will be fascinating whenever they do release what their plans are, because there could be the idea, because here's what's interesting. There could be the idea of you don't even use it in September. You just take that month to wait and to see more. I've always wondered, Lawrence, why more people aren't trying to do the opposite of try to move things up. And it doesn't look like there's enough time anymore to do that. But to me, if all the experts and all the scientists say that in the history of pandemics, there's always a second wave and it's always been worse than the first, and we as a country are failing at what we were doing pretty well at a few weeks ago as everything's going straight up again, we're not even out of the first wave yet, then wouldn't it make more sense to try to use August and September as your warmest months remaining to get more games in and know that December, November, and October are going to be much tougher? It doesn't sound like anyone's doing that plan, that they might wait, like you're saying, a little bit more towards the end of September to figure things out. But again, we'll find out soon enough when they release the schedule.
From what you've been able to figure out, how likely is a spring football? Is the Big Ten just completely against it, or is it something that they are considering?
There's almost nothing that they're not considering. There's almost nothing that they've ruled out. Kevin Warren made it clear to me yesterday that they're considering everything. I mean, this guy has, I was joking with him about the amount of Zooms a commissioner of the Big Ten has had in the last few months, because not only does he, you know, have to have Zooms with his presidents and chancellors and all the athletic directors and football coaches and his staff. I mean, he's not even, you know, he can't walk down the hallway in his office to his staff, but also other Power Five conferences, other commissioners that he'd have to figure things out. And one of the things he was saying was, we're just We're trying to keep options open, and we're trying to consider every angle that we have. So spring football is not eliminated yet as a possibility. I get the vibe that they would rather try to have a fall season, if at all costs, because it just makes so much more sense logistically. So many things are already in place for a fall schedule. You know, you'd have a lot of confusion with your partners in various things like television networks, and would players that are sophomores or juniors, you know, would it be great for them to start a season in February and then start another one in September of 2021? Like, there's definitely problems in any way you go, but Pat Forty made it seem a little more like he thinks that's something that could be real. I just feel, Lawrence, everyone involved is going to do everything they can to start the season in the fall. I don't think they're going to be able to finish the season, but I think they're going to try to do everything they can to start it in the fall.
I want you to try and take your feelings as a father out of this just for a second. We're talking with Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network. As someone who helped launch this network, as someone who loves college sports and college football, what have the last few weeks been like for you?
They've been, frustrating. I'm a pretty optimistic person, but it's a little harder to hold on to that optimism. I felt like when we were in late May and early June and the numbers seemed to be going down and as a country, we'd stop the curb, and, you know, the numbers in Illinois have been getting so much better. And for the most part, they still are here in Illinois. But, you know, I was feeling more like we're going to have a weird year or maybe 2 years until we have a vaccine or whatever it is. But I think slowly we're going to get things more normal. And as things have not gone that way across the country, it does make you frustrated. And again, I don't like to ever be pessimistic, but it's harder. It's just hard to believe that you could get a 13-week season in this fall. And I think, we're all in every walk of life, forget sports, in a position where we have to adjust that things aren't going to be the same for a while. So, you know, if you don't have a playoff this year, like, okay, but let's at least get a regular season. And if you don't have a regular season, maybe you don't have non-conference games, like, okay, but maybe we can have Michigan, Ohio State still. And if you don't have that, you know, well, at least we can get some college football games. It's like baseball, you know, nobody wanted a 60-game season. You'd rather had 162 or 100 or 80. But if 60 is the best we're getting, then we'll be fine with that. So that's sort of where I'm at, is I just want something with the important asterisk, the important caveat of if it's safe. And Commissioner Warren said multiple times, like, it's not a fait accompli that there will be a season, because you have to first and foremost make sure everyone is safe. And that's not just the obvious logistics of the way the virus is spreading. But, you know, Lawrence, something I've been thinking about is that there's sort of this default belief that we hear from some people of like, well, these players are young and they're fit and they're healthy, so, you know, it should be fine. And like, for a lot of players, that'll be true. And for some of them that are even fit, this will attack their systems in a way where they're not going to die, but they're going to be in pain and they're going to be sick. But what about the offensive linemen, man? Like, these dudes aren't built like running backs or wide receivers. Like, they're big. Their job is to eat. And that could genuinely affect their systems, because we're finding out now it affects your bloodstream, and people who are overweight are those who really struggled with those. Well, that's got to be a concern for anybody involved in the sport of football, whether it's college or pro, that you'll be able to really keep players like that safe. And if you can't, you're not going to get a season. And I honestly think if it gets close to where you know you can't, it'll be done. Commissioners, chancellors, presidents, if it gets to a point where they feel it's just clearly too dangerous, someone's going to pull the plug and then the dominoes will all fall.
I think that you're right. I found that there's already been in certain corners of the internet, like, this kind of callous feeling of, oh, well, just let the players all get it now. And then by the time August rolls around, everyone will be good to go and they'll have the antibodies, as if there isn't a scale that goes on. There's right. A spectrum of things that happens to people when they get COVID. Right. And yes, there's going to be a vast majority that are never going to be even have symptoms, but there are going to be some people who are going to be affected not only in the short term, but in the long term from this. And, right. and I, I found the way that we feel like the bodies of these players are disposable to be a little disgusting.
Well, and that even goes to, in a deeper level, the concept that I know you've talked about for years of, you know, these guys aren't getting paid. And, like, we don't need to rehash the old arguments. Obviously, they're getting plenty of benefits, but they're not professionals. And if a professional athlete chooses to do this and knows the risks and does it, you know, that's one thing. But if a college kid feels, you know, pressure to not do it, I think that's a whole different thing. And that was another nice takeaway, I thought, from what Kevin Warren said yesterday, was any single player in any of the fall sports who doesn't feel comfortable playing not only doesn't have to play, but their scholarship will be fine. They will remain in good standings with the team. That's for all the sports in the Big Ten. That's a necessary, mandatory step for them to take. I was very happy to see them to announce that part.
Yeah, I love that. And even, you know, a guy that's as coachy as Fitz, you know, I saw him on the network and him talking about the idea that I got to tell you, Mike, I was surprised at the way that Fitz was talking about the conversations that he is having with players and how he wants it on the record that any player that feels uncomfortable with anything that they're doing can not be a part of it, and it's fine, and you're still going to have your scholarship, and we can talk it out. And he is making these, according to him, these inroads with parents to talk to them about how they feel on it. I think that's the way that you have to approach this if you're going to ask these children, in some cases, to put their bodies on the line for you.
Right. And that was when we had Jerry DiNardo on, who was a former head coach at LSU and Indiana and Vandy. And he basically said, if I was still coaching right now, the first thing I'd be doing is calling the parents and trying to talk to them and answer their questions and figure out the answers to the questions that they have that a head coach wouldn't know, and have constant communication with them, because that's what you have to do. If you're in a position of leadership, you have to, you know, ask the questions. And I wonder if, you know, how much 30 years ago that would have been an equation, or, you know, I feel like we've taken steps forward in that regard where we certainly haven't done enough, but where players are given more of a voice now and that their safety is more concerned. And I understand some people think just shut the whole season down, it's not worth it for any risk at all for the players. But I still feel like as long as you're asking the questions, you're giving the answers when you have them, you're keeping communication open, that's what the coaches need to do. And that, you know, like you said, it doesn't surprise me. Fitz is known as a great leader. So it doesn't surprise me at all that was what his philosophy has been.
It's pretty cool to see it play out. I wanted to ask you, because you brought up the 60-game schedule, and we know that you're also a big White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. What is the thing that had we – and I think we did have a conversation during spring training before it busted out on what you wanted to see versus what you want to see now from the White Sox and them being in a 60-game sprint. I feel like it puts them in a position like every team. I think every team in Major League Baseball now – has a legitimate chance to win the World Series, including our Chicago White Sox.
Right. I mean, my goal with the team as a fan was, like, you know, I wanted 90 wins this year. Because if you're a 90-win team, like, nobody's expecting them, at least back in early March. I wasn't expecting them to be a World Series contender by all means. Not this year. But you wanted them to get a taste of the playoff, at least a taste of a pennant hunt, of a playoff run. And if you lose in the first round, like, fine, losing a wild card game, fine. It's still, that's like the step you want to take the next step next year. And I still kind of feel like in the macro sense, that's what I'm hoping for. Like, the 60-game season is going to be challenging for all the obvious ways for them, especially with, you know, young guys. They want reps. You know, we want them to get hundreds of at-bats this season, not 800 at-bats. So that my macro was I wanted them to be in a playoff hunt. And I still think that's totally possible because, like you said, everybody's in it right now. It's going to be – I actually am a little excited for that aspect of it, that the pennant, you know, chase, like, September's going to be here in a second. And teams will not be that far out of it. Which will be really fun, but in more of a micro, like, I really want to see Kopech. You know, I'd love to see what he's got back. I want to see Luis Robert. I want to see the young guys, really the whole lineup. I honestly feel, man, like there's a detachment because the game's been taken away from us that I kind of want to get back into the rhythm of baseball, to the rhythm of watching the guys and knowing who's playing well right now and learning the stories. I mean, I'm dying to hear Jason and Steve again on a consistent basis talking about the guys, because I feel like I'm out of the loop. I feel like it's been so long that I don't, you know, if you ask me to name the lineup 1 through 9, I could do some of it, but not all of it, because I feel so out of the loop, because it's been forever since we've had baseball in a consistent way on our TVs.
I know that you were in studio yesterday and you guys were worried about breaking news, but did you see the video of Encarnacion yesterday?
No, what did he do?
Okay, so they had a scrimmage yesterday. He hits a home run, and the guys in the dugout are like, do the parrot, do the parrot, because he didn't do it going around first, and then he does it going around second, and all of them went crazy. It was pretty funny.
Now, could you hear them? Because there was no one in the crowd.
Yes, since there's no one there, you could hear all the players screaming, do the parrot!
Isn't that, like, that angle is so interesting to me this year, that we will, like, especially if the television and radio partners are creative, like, if there's different ways you can place cameras, different ways you can place microphones, like, this could be the only time in our lives that we have the ability to genuinely hear what every dugout is saying, to genuinely hear conversations between a runner at first and the first baseman. Like, that stuff is really, really interesting to me for this upcoming season.
Yeah, as far as the team sports go, I think that baseball has the best chance of starting and finishing the season. Mm-hmm. And I hope that I'm right in that assertion, because I would love to see baseball be played on both sides of town. And the way that these schedules are set up, with it being very regional, like, I love the whole idea of it. So hopefully we will get baseball in 2 weeks and we will be able to kind of commiserate on Twitter talking about what's going on with the White Sox for sure. Mike, as always, I appreciate your time. You really, I love you. I adore you. But I was wanting to tell you, you guys did incredible work on Big Ten Live yesterday, with all of the stuff and all of the interviews and asking the right questions of everyone. I thought it was really tremendous work that you and Dave Revson did.
Well, thanks. That's really nice of you to say. That's those shows are always fun and challenging when you literally have 15 minutes that you find out the news and then you're on the air. But especially when we're in COVID and there's only 9 people allowed in our building at one time, and the producer doesn't have a chance to build a rundown, so he's working on the fly, doing a great job, and people are literally at home in their offices trying to book guests and texting and, you know, with all the different people to try to make it work. Our staff did a great job. Those shows are really hard when you're not in your normal office studio setting. So I appreciate you saying that. We were proud of pulling that off.
Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on.
You got it, pal. Talk soon.
That is Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network. They really, I'm not saying that just because Mike was on the show. I was watching their coverage, and they really handled things great. It was great to see. I mean, look, we love him. He's a goofball, but he's a trained professional journalist, and Dave Revson is as good as it gets in this business, and they showed it yesterday. There's a couple baseball things I want to talk about, including consuming baseball. I want to run an idea by you and see what you think. We'll do that next here on The Score.
This is 670 The Score. We're your home for live, local Chicago sports. Homegrown Chicago guys talking about all of Chicago's teams. We are live and local. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's number one sports station. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Let me update you on a couple of stories that we have been following over the last couple of days before I get into something that I ran across this morning and I wanted to pick your brain on. One, this is from our friend Patrick Mooney, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He tweets, David Ross, who previously voiced his concerns to MLB on the state of the game's COVID-19 testing system, quote, "Things are already moving smoother, and I would believe that's going to continue," close quote. So that's good news, and let's see what happens over the weekend. Let's see what happens with the testing over the weekend, and hopefully MLB has gotten through this bump in the road when it comes to getting tests back as timely as possible. The other thing that also has to do with the Cubs, yesterday Herbie brought this to my attention. He was like, hey, go look at Adbert Alzolay's Twitter feed. And Adbert was talking about what it was like to be in South Bend, and it didn't seem like it was very great to be in South Bend. And then you look and see that someone at the team has reached out to him and that he feels better about where things stand. I think I'm not surprised by that. The Cubs seem to be the type of organization that if a player brings up a genuine concern, they are going to work to try and make that concern better. So that's a really good thing, because that looked, I was like, oh, that's going to be problematic for the way this is going to go. So I ran across this yesterday night. I put a like on it so I would remember to find it. Bill Shaken, who has been on this show, he covers baseball and all sorts of stuff for the LA Times, wrote a piece about watching Angels and Dodgers games in drive-through type situations. And it's so funny because Kinsey, my counterpart over at our sister station, B96, she texted me a couple weeks ago and was like, do you think this would work? Do you think if they were showing baseball games and there was a drive-in option that people would go? And I said, yeah. And I knew that there are some teams that were already starting to work on that proposal where you can't bring fans into the stadium and they don't have the same type of capacity that the Cubs do with the rooftops, and the Ricketts is owning a bunch of the rooftops to be able to get some sort of revenue out of Cubs games. And now you're seeing those tickets for the rooftop games going for like $400 a pop for people. Herbie, what's the situation in San Diego? Are there people who can see inside the ballpark from outside the ballpark?
Always when you're in center field, if you have access, they usually cut that off. In center field, there's just off of the street, you can just be in a park, and that hill is kind of elevated, so you could see to the ballpark. But I don't know if a regular, you know, if they're just usually on game days, they restrict that just to ticket buyers. So I don't know right now, since they don't really have ticket buyers, if they're opening that part up. It's just a patch of grass.
And with Baltimore, you have that factory outside of Camden, so I guess technically there could be people there if you want it.
But that is closed off. That's like the building is closed off towards the other side of the street. So to be in that building, maybe you could see games, but that street, Utah Street, it's just like that's all the Baltimore Orioles ownership.
Where's the place where there's like condos across the street? Which ballpark? Is it Houston maybe? Because it's not the same as the rooftops at Wrigley, but there are some condos like right across the street, and people sometimes like look in. They'll give that glamour shot of, oh, well, look at these people. They're watching the game from the condo. Maybe it's, well, Texas.
In Toronto, there's hotel spaces there.
Right.
And that's where they're putting the players too. We just heard from Ryan Barocchi the other day that he's staying in one of those suites up in the Rogers Center, I think it's called.
Okay, well,
they do have apartments in San Diego that look over the ballpark, too.
Maybe that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that there were some apartments in San Diego where you could look into the ballpark, too, and you could probably charge people for a view if you want it.
I think they have ownership of the Western Metal Supply Company, but if that is not if you're just taking a tour, I'm sure you can just go up to the rooftop and see the practices all they want to. I don't know if San Diego and the Padres actually have ownership of that building or not. If it's just the city of San Diego, I'm pretty sure you can just go in there and look at practices if you want to.
Well, I've been riding my bike for T-Pain. I didn't get to ride this morning. I don't know if I'll ride this afternoon because it was raining outside and I don't like riding in the rain. But I ride the lakefront a lot, and I saw how they're setting up the south lots at Soldier Field to do movie night. I think they're going to do Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or like obviously because that's apparently the only movie that Chicagoans like or something, are going to do Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and it got me to thinking, along with the Bill Shaken thing, if the White Sox were to do a drive-in type experience, would you be down for it?
I would definitely be down for that.
I mean, they could do it on their own lots if they want it. I mean, and obviously the Bears are going to do this thing in the South lot, which isn't far from the ballpark. And maybe that's an alternative if you wanted to do it. Like, if you don't want to have it on your grounds because you don't want there to be a lot of people near the ballpark and near the players, theoretically, you could get a big screen and do it over in the South lots over at Soldier, McCormick Place. But I feel like there would be a lot of people who would be down with this, that would be totally down with, okay, I'm going to go to the South lot, and I'm going to go to the lots on 35th Street, and I'm going to watch White Sox games on a big screen. I think it would be kind of fun to do it that way. And I remember when the pandemic started, you and I were talking about how we expected that someone who's super smart and has some disposable income should invest in drive-in theaters. Because you still get the movie experience of watching it with a bunch of people, but you're safe in your own bubble inside your own car. The one thing I would worry about is people getting out of their car and tailgating. You gotta tell people, like, you cannot tailgate. Like, that's gotta be a part of the deal. You gotta stay in the ride. If you're gonna be here watching the game, we can't open it up and just kind of make it a whole thing. Unless they wanna make it so that there are less people that are allowed. But I feel like once you open it up to tailgating, then people will walk from one tailgate to the other. Like, the best way to do it is to socially distance and have everyone be in their car.
Well, I've seen renderings where you have a blocked off space for that car and then a little bit more for the people who would be inside the car. And inside that blocked off space is where you would be able to go and then, you know, go to the bathroom, of course. But otherwise, that's where you stay during the movie or whatever you're viewing.
Yeah, and I wonder how you have to do it, too, because you have to account for it still being light. Even though the days are getting shorter again, it's still going to be light enough to maybe have an effect. Like, does that mean that you change the angle of where you would put the giant television and the giant screen? All of that stuff has to play into it. I'm sure it's not easy. I'm sure that trying to do the logistics of it is not easy. But if you're the White Sox or someone else, it's a way that it's a small amount of revenue, but there could be some revenue generated from this if you can figure out how to make it work. I would actually, like, this is something that I would feel more comfortable participating in. And this texter, what happens when 10,000 people show up? Well, you can't just come. Like, there's got to be a ticketing aspect to this. You can't just show up. That's part of the logistical. And that's why I think that while having it in a lot would be great, maybe you don't have it at a lot at the ballpark. Maybe you do have it at McCormick Place instead,
and
in the parking lot.
Turning people away, the exclusivity of the event would make it more of a thing, too. So, hey, we're only allowing 1,000 people here. 1,000 people, and then we're done. People will be rushing to get there. I'm sure I would want to see a game with that type of atmosphere. It'll be a very unique situation, a situation where we probably won't see this anymore. So I would go out to a socially distant outside viewing of a ball game and having that cheering going on with the fellow White Sox fans with, you know, like I said, staying socially distant between each other.
And I mean, I guess we all could probably from a neighborhood standpoint, do some of these watch parties too. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way that, my block is set up, I don't know who roots for whom with my neighbors, but theoretically, we could all be in our backyard and watch a White Sox game together. Theoretically. I don't know if anyone would be down for that, but I might be. I got the new fancy deck now. I'll just go out there and watch a game. It'll be like being at the game.
And the Cubs, I know they have that Gallagher space, but that's way too close. That area right there, you couldn't put a lot of people there if you want to be socially distant. So they would have to find, like you were saying with the White Sox, a place off-site where Cub fans can go and watch their
games
together.
Well, the Cubs could do it in their lot, in the lot on Grace. They could probably do – it actually would probably work out well. Like, it's a nice-sized lot. But you could limit it. I think that would be the place. If you're the Cubs, that's the place you're going to do it. With them, I don't know. My biggest issue with the Cubs and why I think it's interesting that they chose so many night games with their schedule is what happens, because you know that people are just going to go to the neighborhood. Like, Wrigleyville itself has been hopping since the bars opened back up. But if you tell me that the Cubs are going to play, people are going to be able to see the lights, they're going to be able to hear the organ, how are they not going to just show up and just, hell, during the World Series, Cubs fans couldn't even see the game during Game 7, and they didn't care. They watched the score turn on the marquee, not the network marquee because it didn't exist yet.
And as you're talking about, Chris Ronja used to live in that neighborhood. He had a bunch of people outside of his apartment on the street just watching the game.
Yeah. Speaking of marquee, I thought they were close to a deal. I thought the marquee and Comcast were close to a deal. Why isn't there a deal yet? Man, they better get a deal done. Because...
no deal means more ears. Let's go.
I was just getting ready to say, you can hear every game that the Cubs play this year, even the ones against the White Sox, on 670 The Score.
For the price of the house.
Let me help my other employer out too. And every Cubs and White Sox game you can watch on NBC Sports Chicago. Every one of them.
Who do I send that to?
Send that one to Kevin Cross. But I would like for Cubs fans to be able to watch their own network, too. To be able to get Lynn and JD because they do a great job. Don't be telling me the deal's close. Make that deal happen. People need to see their team. Did they do a YouTube deal yet? Or is it still just Hulu Plus? Hulu Live Plus or whatever it is. I have not enjoyed my Hulu experience.
I mean, you haven't had the sports as yet, right?
No, but I'm not that. The sports I'm not worried. Like, I wanted to watch Shrill, the A.D. Bryant show, and it's really good, but I found the interruptions to be problematic.
You got to go up.
I already have too many apps. I'm already paying for too much. I still got to cancel my CBS All Access.
Not doing Star Trek anymore?
Well, I didn't watch the regular Star Trek. I did finally finish Picard, and I'm glad I stuck with it because I felt like it paid itself off at the end. It was rough going into it. But am I really just paying for that? Are we supposed to get that free? Didn't we used to work for them or something?
I thought we, like, bought CBS Radio out, so there's no more real CBS Radio, right?
No, CBS Sports Radio still exists.
Does it,
right?
Though?
I hear them in the sports things. Hi, I'm Jim Rome. You clones. Like, I hear that, like, every commercial break at the top of the hour. I'm just saying. I don't know how this became me complaining about apps, but it did. I'll talk about Javier Baez and his contract next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I've been thinking a little bit about Javier Baez and whether or not it makes sense for him to sign an extension right now. And the reason that I've been thinking about it is, look, these are unprecedented times. We all hope that things get better, but we have no reason to believe that they will. If you're him and you're in a position to make somewhere around $200 million in an extension with the Cubs, and you could sign that extension now, does it do you any good to negotiate? Would you rather have the contract in hand, knowing that it's going to be maybe less than if you were to play some hardball in the negotiation? I don't know. I've been going back and forth on this over the last 24 hours. And Javi had talked about it a little bit yesterday. His contract is like a big issue. It's not going to keep him from playing or playing hard. But if you're presented with a big money extension right now, and another thing, why did MLB put out the 2021 schedule yesterday? Like, for real. But if you're him, let's say that I'm making a number up, okay? This is not what anyone has reported, so I'm using this to have the discussion and make the argument. Let's say that you think that you could get $250 million from the Cubs in an extension if you're Javier Baez. Play your whole career here for that $250 million. Or the most viable years of your career. And let's say that right now, you're not going to get more than $200 million because they're being mindful of all sorts of stuff. Is it worth it to have the security of knowing that you have the $200 million coming your way, or I guess a prorated $200 million coming your way, and that peace of mind, is it worth the $50 million? Not knowing if you're going to get COVID, if baseball is going to even be around in the way that we've known it before. I don't know. I've been thinking about that. Lawrence, someone hit me up on Twitter and said that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Herbie. No, go ahead.
I would think that it's best for the player. And yes, this COVID brings a different situation, but he's a year and a half away from being free, right?
Yep.
And so it's best for the player to have other teams compete for his services. Yes, the nice, comfortable, like, hey, they're offering me this. It's already in the bank. You know, enough money is enough money, whatever. I should sign this. But if I was the player, I'd be like, I'm going to roll dice. I didn't wait this long for me to get to this point just to sign off for the Cubs. The Cubs got to get me a ridiculous offer for me to sign on the dotted line. I want other teams competing, and the Cubs can still be in that mix. I can stay here, but I want other teams competing for my services and see what that number is. And if I crap out, I crap out, but I'm still be rich on the other side, right?
Oh, well, yeah, you're still going to be rich on the other side, hopefully. But how rich are you going to be? And the Cubs, after the 2021 season, it's going to be – there's going to be a lot of people that might not be here anymore after that. Real quick, Adam sent me this on Twitter. He said, we did a drive-in movie in Forest Park last night and had people who wanted to get out and tailgate. So we did 35 20x20 boxes and strategically placed the cars as additional barriers. With large-scale planning, they could definitely pull it off. I'm glad that that happened in Forest Park. I don't trust people to act right if they're actually tailgating. Come in and watch the game in your car, and that's it. But I'm glad that you guys had fun with the movie. That sounds like a good time. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. McNeil and Parkins are coming up next. Shep sent me a picture of his daughter, Peyton, in a pool, and I'm not sure if she's having a good time or not. It's the first time that he sent me a picture where I'm like, are you all torturing Peyton, or is she actually having fun? McNeil and Parkins are going to have Eno Saris on. That's a smart dude that knows baseball. That's at 3 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you on Monday. New House of L coming out on Sunday. Jonathan Hood is going to be my guest. Ooh, spicy. WrestleManiacs in the house. See you Monday here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.